number 18.
Okay.
Mr. Briggs?
Okay.
Summary of Water Board Grant Funding for Agriculture.
This is actually, this started anyway with a follow-on to a discussion the board had at the last board meeting, December board meeting in Watsonville, where the, as part of the item that is the board's reports on its meetings and that sort of thing, we talked about the field trip that the board had to the Malera wetlands, the constructed wetlands in Monterey County, and reviewed that, and the board discussed the fact that funding was lacking for some continuation of the project. Monitoring funds were in question. We actually had clarification at the meeting that apparently monitoring funds have been secured or are in the process of being secured to continue with at least bare bones monitoring of that project. But also I was pointing out when the board was discussing possibility of additional regional board discretionary funding that there are an awful lot of projects that have been funded, are being funded through the years, and that's certainly true for projects that are related to agricultural issues. So what we did here is put together a summary to elaborate on that concept, and we've listed projects that are funded through the water boards, and that's plural, that means through the state board, frequently with our input as well as our discretionary funds. We did not include, there's alphabet soup there, but just a demonstration of a lot of other agencies that provide funding in this area, California Department of Food and Agriculture, United States Department of Agriculture through the EQIP program, Environmental Quality Incentive Program, I think that stands for, Natural Resource Conservation Service, the Department of Commerce, both state and federal, United States Fish and Wildlife Service, and others. And additionally, we did not try to put together a comprehensive list. We just looked in the last decade, basically. So it's a limited list, and nevertheless, it's a pretty impressive list. So we came up with, in spite of those caveats of projects that were not included, grants that were not included, we came up with $600 million statewide and $55 million plus for the Central Coast. Other projects that were not listed in the report, and these were things that we actually learned more about as far as gathering information after we put the staff report together. You've heard just in the last item about the Integrated Regional Watershed Management Grants, and as you can see there, $14 million has been allocated to ag-related issues, and that's in Table 2 of our staff report. So that money is in the process of being allocated. And then another acronym, sorry about that, but SEP, Supplemental Environmental Projects. We didn't capture those. There have been at least a couple that are related to agricultural issues. The City of Pismo Beach had a enforcement action by this board, and that led to a Arroyo Grande, or Pismo Creek, I guess it was, watershed management plan, and then, and of course, the watershed includes significant agricultural land uses. And again, you heard in the last item about salt and nutrient management plans, and so these are additional allocations of grant funds for work in the watersheds that are related to agricultural activities that we did not include in this table, but we thought for completeness we'd mention them here. So you have about $500,000 for three different areas in the region. The seaside area, that's Monterey Peninsula area. I don't know if that includes significant agricultural activities, just based on the geography of it. The Santa Cruz County RCD Resource Conservation District, and this I think was brand new information as of yesterday, received a $295,000 reward. The Carmel one, again, I think that's a case. While it's good news that was awarded for watershed efforts, there's limited agriculture anymore in the Carmel River Valley, so I think that is not as applicable to agricultural land use. Next, Michael. And actually, Michael, you were going to address this one.
Just to remind the board that we have discussed our priorities for grant funding quite a bit with the board and with the public. And this is from our published report or published document that lets the public know what our priorities are. And the priorities that are related to the ag industry are irrigation efficiency, nutrient management, groundwater recharge area protection, and riparian protection. So when we are advertising the availability of funds, we are emphasizing these priorities with the service providers, those providing services to the ag industry, so that they will design their projects or their proposals around these priorities, and they have done that. This is a list taken from the staff report. So it's just some of the projects that are in the staff report, and these projects have been funded or are in the process of being funded, and they reflect the priorities that we have been publishing and, you know, and that the board has directed us to emphasize, which is quite a bit of money, as you can see there. I won't read them all, but you can see the amounts that are involved in there, very substantial amounts of money that are going to the board's priorities.
And specifically, just for that, one of those priority areas of irrigation and nutrient management, I think there's $4 million listed there just on that topic. And as you can see in the right-hand column, these are pending. This is brand new information in terms of grant funds for projects going forward. It's not just historical. So that's pretty significant. I wanted to point out that a lot of these projects that have been completed have accomplished a lot of benefits in the watershed. We pointed out in the staff report, in particular, just to talk about the quality of projects, that in the Elkhorn Slough watershed, for example, $7 million in mitigation funds has actually been amplified through leveraging several times over. I think upwards of almost $30 million.
Yes.
In terms of leverage funds for projects in that watershed for some very serious problems related to sediment and pesticide issues. And so there's certainly a lot of good work that has come out of this. As Michael said, we want to have increased accountability in terms of accounting for actual water quality improvements. Another thing that we pointed out in here in terms of an area of priority that is lacking when we look at this list is for the problems of contamination of water wells from land use issues, and that has not been a focus. So we cited that from the standpoint of an area that we seem to have missed over the years, and we're trying to emphasize now. We did what's the next slide, Michael?
I think it's the
comment letter. That's what I was going to mention next. We did receive a comment letter from Coastal San Luis Resource Conservation District. It was just yesterday, so I handed those out to you. And they seem to take our report as saying that good things haven't happened. So I was trying to address that just now. And they point out a lot of the work that they did with a particular grant or grant projects in the Morro Bay watershed in particular. And we certainly agree with that. However, like I said, we do see areas where we need to focus. And that's what we've tried to do with our priorities, as we've already discussed. Also, finally, we want to point out that we cannot rely on grants solely to solve the problems. Ultimately, those who are responsible for affecting the watershed, particularly with discharges, are responsible for solving those problems. And that's not going to happen unless we have an appropriate regulatory structure. A lot of times we hear from potential grantees that they would be able to actually get more customers, if you will, in terms of folks to use their assistance if there was a regulatory structure that drives them to do that, if it's something they really have to do. But if it's voluntary or optional, it's tougher to get folks to take advantage of some of these funding opportunities. And there's a tendency to have some of the same people over and over again who are already, in some cases, already trying to do a good job and are doing a pretty good job. And so we miss some of the most egregious cases. Want to add anything else? That's it, and we have a few cards, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any board questions at this point?
Oh, I forgot. I forgot one thing. I've got it here marked right in front of me. The original question was how much was the project, the Malera Wetland Project? And it's not easily identified, perhaps, in this table, but it's at the top of page 6 of your table. It's called the Gabilon Watershed Project, but, and it says Moss Landing Marine Lab is one of the collaborators. $1.4 million was the grant amount for that project.
Okay, I have four speaker cards. Kevin Merrill, Darlene Dinn, Kirk Schmidt, and Chris O'Connor, in that order.
Thank you, Chairman Young. Kevin Merrill, representing the Santa Barbara County Farm Bureau today. It's interesting to hear the how much money has been spent. And I want to remind the board that back in, and many of you board members were on the board in 2003 when we got a grant from you all to start the Southern San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara County Watershed Coalition. And that was done because Mr. Roberts and at that time Julia Dyer came to us and asked us to start that. And we did it, and we got it going, and I think we did some good things with that. But I want to point out that the grants were written in a different form then. The objectives of those grants were different. And at some point, Mr. Thomas had those five areas that they want to concentrate on for grant, what their grants want to produce. Those weren't originally what the grants were funded for. And so a lot of the things were not quantifiable that we did. Getting growers together, getting them to understand what's going on in their watershed, those things are hard to quantify and hard to put down as a report and a grant. So consequently, later on, when that grant was up, we didn't renew the other one because the restrictions having to do with that grant were too great for us to meet. So while it looks like a lot of money, and I think we've done a lot of good things with those, they're hard to quantify. And at times, the direction from the board and the staff changed horses really in the middle of the stream of what they wanted to do with that money, which made it difficult. So I just wanted to make that point. So thank you.
Thank you. Darlene Dinn.
Thank you, Board. I'm going to comment to the staff report, and I wrote some comments because I think it's very important. I appreciate you trying to clarify, but considering that this is online and this is what people read and how they deal with it, the staff item is misleading in stating that these funds were used solely for the benefit of agriculture to improve water quality statewide and on the Central Coast, and that somehow there should be a correlated that the funding did not improve water quality. In looking at the list, much of the funding went to agencies with board of directors that requested funding to meet their goals of their organizational mission, along with nonprofits that provide data, research, and in some case, planning grants and conservation projects. Is it the purpose of this item to state that all this funding was directed to and under the control of projects that had direct benefit for improving water quality to support agriculture? The voters voted for bond measures that dealt with clean water, and the grantees that awarded funding to organizations did with criteria established under that grant. Those organizations applied for funds to fulfill contractual requirements set forth by the grantee. Is there data, research, and information from this grant that can be gleaned to move us forward? I think so. It depends on who is reviewing the accomplishments and sets a value on those outcomes. I think that it's important to say I didn't personally work for those organizations, but in full disclosure, for a few months, I did work with the funding for the grower community for the cooperative monitoring program. But I have attended numerous meetings, workshops, presentations, and governmental agency public hearings of the many organizations that received the funding who believed that they were providing the service that was delivered by the grantee's request. If the purpose of this item is to state that you will now direct the funding to the future criteria that new grants meet your new objectives, then this is a useful item. If your objective is to improve groundwater, change your program, your funding criteria, and match your goals. You're the grantee who is awarding the funding. From my point of view, much of this money went to programs that did not have a direct benefit to improving water quality to support agriculture. Some was an indirect benefit and some was outreach. But the funding sources for these agencies and nonprofits did value those programs and they were supported. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Schmidt.
Chairman Young, members of the board, Mr. Briggs, my name's Kirk Schmidt. I'm the executive director of Preservation, Inc. We were the recipient of over $3 million in grants through your agency, both from your remediation funds and Proposition 40 and 50 funds. All of that money was designed to do research through water quality analysis and outreach and education. It was well done, and we've received compliments from your staff for the work we did. However, much like many of the other recipients of grants on the list that was provided, the work was to do fundamental baseline research, which was necessary to establish the condition of the watershed, and was not designed to have farmers implement on-farm practices to improve water quality. The people who did this work, I think, did an admirable job to meet the goals that were requested at the time, but to imply that on-farm practices should have been the outcome, I think, is incorrect, because on-farm outcome is not one of the goals of our grant and many of the other grants. And so when you look at the total of the money, maybe you should subtotal that for how much went to research and find that there's a much smaller number that went to actual on-farm practices. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. Chris O'Connor.
I'm okay. I wasn't sure what was going to say.
Okay. All right. Any board comments or questions on this, staff? Any comments, Roger?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Well, Scott, go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mr. Briggs.
I was just going to point out that in the last slide, we, in fact, acknowledge, I don't think I said anything about it, but the bulletin there acknowledged that a lot went to research, as Kirk Schmidt was referring to. And I was talking about how we have kind of missed the boat in terms of how some of those funds were targeted and appropriate priorities, and what we're looking at as far as going forward with the priorities, for example, with irrigation and nutrient management. So trying to acknowledge that.
Mr. Jeffries.
I just want to make a couple of comments. You know, you look at $600+ million, a lot of money, there's no question about it, but you look at the amount of what that derives, and what that derives just in this region itself, if you take it over a 10-year period, there's probably $50 to $75 billion worth of agriculture that generated with some of this research that has been done. And I know Mr. Briggs addressed an issue in the Elkhorn area, which took some land out of production, but it also brought in the Hispanic community to show them how to work their land, and especially in strawberries, which helped considerably. And looking at the Elkhorn Slough and the loading of the discharge that was discharged into that particular area. Now, if you take statewide of what agriculture generates, and a lot of these things that we are listed here are not directly related to agriculture; they're related to wastewater treatment plants and so forth. It generates a heck of a lot of money and jobs, but not only that, it generates the food that we eat in the state. And I, at the time that each one of these projects have come forth, because I've been on this board for 15 years, I've supported those, because at the time, every one of those were justified in the dollars that we allocated. The question came up at the Malera Castroville demonstration project, was there was X many dollars that was needed to continue to operate the electrical portion of keep the pumps and so forth. I think some of the farmers that were there at that time said they were going to step up and pick up the cost. My question to the executive officer, Mr. Briggs, was, do we have any additional funds that we can put in demonstration projects up and down our region similar to the one that was in Malera? And this is basically, I think, from that question is generated, if I'm maybe misstating it, but that was my question. Is there additional funds that we could have for demonstration projects for the agriculture community similar to what Malera Castroville project has shown? And there is dollars. Now, I'm not one to say that we show a demonstration project and we continue to operate it for eternity. I would support demonstration projects that would show there was a benefit of some kind to cleaning up the water. And then the users of that area would pick up the operating costs for thereon. That's where I'm coming from. And I think agriculture is extremely important to this state and the economy of this state, and we should continue to support those type of projects if they make sense. If they don't make sense, I'm not going to support it either, but I think what we have to do is define those areas. And, of course, everybody wants to see a project that does something. Move a chair, move a table, whatever happens. But a lot of things that I think Mr. Smith pointed out was to provide information. A lot of that information that these projects, you don't see any actual physical thing done, but all that information has been filtered back to this regional board, which the staff uses in most cases to move ahead to clean up our waters. So consequently, Mr. Chair, I still would support allocating dollars that could be proved to this board that was worthwhile in demonstration projects.
Okay. Thank you. And just for Mr. Schmidt and Ms. Dinn's information, because I took from your comments a sense that maybe the staff report was geared a certain way or to foster a certain impression. I looked at it. I didn't think too much one way or the other. I mean, I took it for what it says it is. I didn't prepare it. I didn't give it a title. No one on the board did. I did look through here and see that, well, some of these things don't look like they're really geared towards ag. There may be some spinoff or benefit. So I realize that this is probably a much larger group of grant funds that have been allocated towards ag or agricultural-related spinoffs. And I didn't take anything else from it than that. So, I mean, I don't look at this and think, uh-oh, no more money for ag or some negative connotation. Okay? I mean, I am hopeful that we have money available to help with ag as we continue in our process of trying to address water quality impacts, you know, and make that money available if we've got it or if we can get to it. So, any other comments by the board? Okay. Mr. Jeffries?
Well, just...
He's got his arms crossed and he's beaming at me and...
Well, the wheels are turning. I think what the comment... And I don't want to misquote the person that said it, but I think the information, once it goes on the website, right, goes on the Internet, yeah, people look at this and don't understand it.
Right.
As us, as board members sitting here, we understand what the issue is, and as you said, you didn't think much of it. But in the general public that doesn't know what's happened in the past and what's going to happen in the future, they look at this and say, wow, $500 million, my God, that's a lot of money. Well, it is a lot of money.
Yeah, that's statewide.
I understand that. But you have to understand from the general public looking at that, they're going to say that's a lot of money. And I agree it's a lot of money. But when you start looking at what it has done and what it's going to do,
right,
there isn't really any explanation to that. So that's, I think that is the concern, and I don't remember which person, Darlene, did you write it up? Okay. So, and I agree with her. As a general layperson looking at this on the Internet, I would say, wow, well, you know, what do we got for our dollar? For us looking at it at the board level, we say, this has generated a lot of good things happen in the last 10, 12 years. So we don't think of as much of it as the general public. So that would be my concern as just a person.
Okay.
You know, being in the political world, you know, people look at you and say, You know, what the heck are you doing? Why are you spending all this money? Because when they just see it in the newspaper, there's a dollar amount, and it really doesn't give explanations and detail how that is arrived or derived. I'm finished.
Okay. Mr. Thomas.
Yeah, I'd just like to follow up on that and another perspective on it is, yes, the public does ask that question. I've been asked that question many times. They say, for not just for the grants that go to the ag industry, but grants that go to other organizations, or to municipalities or whoever. And they say, what did you get for that money? And we have to try and answer that question. You know, we can't say, well, I guess we can say this. We say, well, it's intangible. It did good things. You know, a lot of that money, a lot of that $55 million, if people asked us, what did you specifically get for that money? We can't answer the question. But for some of it, we can. You know, and as that letter pointed out that was sent to the board from the Resource Conservation District, they pointed out, here are some great things that were done. We pointed out some great things that were done. We made many presentations to the board bragging about the great things that were done with grant funds. But for some of them, we can't explain what we got from it. And we have canceled contracts over the past few years because we changed our granting program. We changed our priorities. We changed how we were scrutinizing invoices. And we have canceled contracts in the millions of dollars because they could not tell us what they were doing with the money. And so we have made a change, and that has caused friction over the past few years, and we're aware of that. Changed our priorities, and we've also changed our scrutiny over ourselves, over how we're managing this program, and over the grantees and what they're actually doing with that money and how they're reporting it to us. So we're trying to become more accountable. And we've had conversations with the board, not just about ag grants, but about every program that we have, everything we bring to you. We talk to you every year at the annual meeting where we look at the big picture. We talk to you about accountability, and this is part of that.
Okay.
No, lunchtime.
By the way, I wrote the staff report.
I figured okay. You have.
I added to it.
in the spirit of a comment that came up earlier about what happens when a report generates comments from the public that the report is missing or is misstating. In this case, I don't think it's missing or misstating so much as it maybe didn't acknowledge the tremendous partnership and cooperation that goes on when these projects occur and the benefit of the relationships that develop between regional board, their effort to gain more information, their need for more on-the-ground consistent source of information between the growers and the implementation of best practices and so forth. I don't see that in the conclusion, and I think this may be an opportunity to follow up on someone's suggestion that we add another paragraph here that characterizes those benefits so that the report that is there for the record does also reflect some of the good outcomes that have been achieved through these partnerships, because that's how I see it. I see this work always in partnership with the stakeholders. And I think their willingness to participate and explore new solutions is something that we have to continue to rely on. Without that willingness, we are in enforcement mode, and that's not, I think, as productive as, yeah. You know. Okay.
Can I respond?
Yeah.
You know what?
Okay. Oh, not my call.
You can respond, but let me just give you a suggestion on what to do. Since you're the scribe today, mm-hmm. At least in the minutes, you could reflect what the board has said. Mm-hmm. And that's available online also once the minutes have been adopted. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the way to address this. I don't think you change the staff report once it's been issued.
Well, since I don't know. Since it's an information item, I thought we might be able to.
Yeah, if you're posting it online and it's going to something that remains online, you can certainly add a paragraph. There's no problem with that.
I was going to say I have no problem with that. I agree with everything you said.
Okay.
And I also want to say that when we came to the board and bragged to you about the great things that happened, those things and every other great thing that happened, they were all a result of this cooperation that you're talking about. Without it, those things couldn't have happened. They could not have happened. We also have cases where we have a lot of collaboration and a lot of people working good together, and we like each other, and it doesn't result in tangible results on the ground. And we have to ask those tough questions. Okay, we all like each other, and there's a lot of money involved. We're getting along well together, but are we actually producing a tangible result that is worth the money that is being spent? We have to ask that question and answer it.
And I commend the staff for taking steps to improve the quality of the product so that it is directly useful, so that it addresses priorities, and we, as board, I know we've encouraged and supported that in every way possible. And it's not just this agency. All California agencies have been under the same pressure to be more productive, more effective, and more efficient with the limited funds that we have to address those information needs. Developing baseline data is just hugely expensive, so we should be as careful and thoughtful as possible. So I agree that strides have been made to change the criteria for very important reasons.
Okay, we're going to break for lunch.
And I need to make an announcement.
And Frances McChesney, our attorney, has a public comment to make.
Okay, I'm just going to announce that the board will be meeting in closed session to discuss three items on their Voices of the Wetlands versus the Regional Water Quality Control Board. The second one is the Prohibition Zone Legal Defense Fund versus the Regional Board, and the Los Osos CSD bankruptcy case. And just to say that Mr. Briggs and Ms. and Dr. Hunter will not participate in the discussion of the Prohibition Legal Defense Fund case, as they
okay.
have a conflict.
Mr. Hayashi.
As a matter of housekeeping, should we take care of it now?
Sure. What kind of housekeeping?
I will be conflicted for the next two line items.
Okay.
So I will not be here after lunch.
Okay. All right. Well, but you could be returning for the EO's report, Mr. Hayashi.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Mr. Hayashi, you seem to slip out.
We could give you a call.
Yeah.
And just to add to that, Dr. Wolf also has a conflict on the agricultural order items, and so he will